here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
So many of us are navigating life, kids, maybe aging parents, pets, working from home, and it's like it's so confusing at times and it's downright stressful. And if you've had questions in terms of how are your kids really handling this and how are you handling this crisis emotionally and physically, this is the show for you. And it was inspired by one of my own kids, Emery, who came to me and said, "Mommy, I wish COVID was over." And she was crying. And that's my youngest, my 11-year-old. And I thought, you know, so often on the show, we talk about marketing and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, and we talk about optimizing sales funnels and business. But let's have a raw and real conversation about how we can be better as parents and entrepreneurs. So my guest today is a board-certified pediatrician with over 20 years of experience in the health and wellness sector. She is an incredible, incredible thought leader online. She helps women, a lot of women and men, lots of parents navigate their health and nutritional needs along with their families. And in addition to all of her amazing accomplishments, she is a mom of three incredible kids and loving wife, I would assume, to her husband, Dave. And she is currently at home in Ann Arbor, Michigan with all four of her family members, including her kids, Caitlin, Ellie, and Addison. So Dr. Sue McCready, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
So Sue, let me ask you, just going back to what Emery said, you know, she was literally in tears. She had been home, not seeing any friends, just her siblings. We, plus Chris and I, working, and we found ourselves working even longer days. And here she was feeling very isolated, feeling very frustrated. What are you seeing from, let's start with the emotional perspective, in terms of the toll that COVID and especially the quarantine has had on kids?
Well, I think even in my own house, one of the things that struck me was the spectrum that I saw. One child in particular is very introverted, you know? So for her, this was like, this is great. You don't have to leave your room. I can put my headphones on and listen to my music. This is like, thumbs up, mom. This is great. And then my two that are more social were just, you know, on the other spectrum, you know, like, when can we get out of here? Kind of feeling more like the caged animal of the emotions kind of going up and down, right? And one of the things I always share in my pediatric practice that I've never read a parenting book. I swear to God, I've never read a parenting book. But what really helps me be a better parent is continually to work on myself, right? Mm-hmm. So doing my inner game work of really, you know, I call it, I have a mantra: breathe, write, pray, and play. Mm-hmm. So that's what really helps me quiet my mind and really helps me refocus every day and keeps me level-headed, because I always feel like they're just mirroring. They're like little mirrors of us, right? If we can kind of ride the waves up and down, you know, and respond rather than react, right? They're going to mirror us back for the most part. Though some of them are going to challenge us from time to time. And that's true for me too. And I see the similar in my pediatric practice as well, the full range, right? But I always say the more we just work on ourselves and do our work, the easier it is to do the parenting work, I find.
Yeah, it was fascinating to me. I love what you said about the spectrum of kids. It was fascinating to see how my kids were showing up. And so one of them was like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to wear sweatpants and a big sweatshirt for like 5 months and I don't care. And then poor Emery was like, I miss my friends. And then our son, AJ, nothing really changed in his routine. He was just, you know, the same thing. But it was interesting to watch, to your point. And And I love what you said as well, just in terms of doing the self work in order to be able to navigate the situation. In one of the things I've heard from other parents is that their kids are stressed. Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, in your professional opinion, especially with so much online learning, how does that affect children, not just mentally, but also physically? Because I'm sure we're going to see the next wave of childhood obesity. We're going to see all sorts of other things happening.
Well, I always teach and preach, stress is our number one obstacle to health. It's our number one obstacle. It's the thing that I always teach, health is balance. You can imagine yourself balancing back. Stress is the big blob sitting on one end that's throwing you into imbalance. And you know you're imbalanced because symptoms rise to the surface. Mm-hmm. So stress is really, you know, 95% of office visits are stress related, right? Stress is associated with the top 5 or 6 causes of death, right? Stress is huge. And I agree. I think we are going to see kind of the tumbling effects of the first is like the physical stress, you know, everybody all of a sudden like, where's the zinc? Where's the vitamin C, right? Like the short term, like grabbing things, right? And then there's this, all of, you know, the financial impact of the stress, and then also the emotional impact of the stress and going forward. Like my husband and I always talk about just our behavior patterns, walking down the street and everyone's always moving around each other. It's going to be so interesting to see how we re-evolve, you know, back to togetherness, where touching becomes okay again, right? So I see that impact as well. And stress, I can't stress it enough, play on words, how important it is to really get a handle on stress. And I think you can do that. You know, you and I are so passionate about nutrition. So there's nutritional ways to support stress, right, with plants. But then there's also the lifestyle things that we can do. And so I always stress for our family and in my practice as well that, you know, that's where we not only have to eat, we have to rest and move. So decreasing stress through adequate sleep at night, decreasing stress throughout the day with, you know, restful periods where, you know, breathe, write, pray, and play, right? Kids especially, right? Just getting out and play, right? I'm always like, get outside, go. Go play.
Well, and there are also, I think, you know, depending where people live, there are also circumstances where kids aren't getting outdoors. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the areas have actually re-locked down. And so I can think of several cases where kids, it'll be a week before they go outside or a week where they get any exercise. What would your best tips be for, let's start with that mm-hmm. movement piece. Mm-hmm. How do we incorporate that for our family? What is the daily recommended amount that, you know, a child should be moving? And by child, I'm talking even 18-year-olds who are at mm-hmm. home right now. So yeah. What is that amount?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things with movement is like everything in parenting, don't say it, you know, show it. Kids do what you do, not what you say. So the biggest thing we can do is be the bright, shining examples of what to do, right? So I know, like you, I love exercise and I show them, my husband and I show them every day we're downstairs in the basement working out. So they know that that's part of a healthy lifestyle. Super interesting what happened during COVID. My oldest actually is more of like the routine person. So it was really super interesting to see how all of a sudden she had never used a Peloton app and now she's using the Peloton app. And she got into her routine, and if she like missed her exercise, she could note that her mental was different, right? So it was exciting to see her really take hold of that and find a new rhythm for herself to get her body moving every day. So I think the older ones can do better really with the apps. You know, Peloton app is one of our favorites. My middle, she says, I just want to do it from YouTube. I was like, okay, find your YouTube. Yeah. Whatever works. And the youngest, we have one of those hang bars, you know, so for her, she swings, like any kind of movement to get out of your mind and into your body. Some trampolines, like I love those little jumping trampolines, right? Any kind of movement. And how much per day? I think really, even, you know, for adults, so that's like the you know, less than an hour, right? You know, like a 45 minute hard hit workout is incredible. You can sweat within 12 minutes.
Yeah, so true.
working hard for the younger ones, you know, probably even just like a half an hour, right? Or just some kind of movement, but frequent too. I think the younger you are, the more frequently you need it, right? You need those frequent breaks, right? So one of the emotional tools that I have with my youngest is when I feel that aggravation mounting, I say, okay, go move your body. Go get on that bar, go swing, go jump on the bed. She needs movement, right? Or outside, you know, she'll do her little zip thing around or ride her bike, movement, get that energy moving through you. So for the younger ones, it's repetition throughout the day, especially.
Those are great recommendations. The you know, at our house, we use the Peloton app too. And Chris kept saying to me, Emery's old enough to ride the Peloton. And I said, she's 11. And he's like, no, she can do it. So we set her up, and I have the instructors that don't swear. And so shouts out to Allie Love. It, you know, awesome.
She's all love. Yeah.
She is.
She's like a little angel on the bike.
She is. She's awesome. And we started, I love, you know, that, you know, I always say, like, the only way to learn it is to live it. So we started out with, I would do, Peloton now has workouts that are not just bike for people who don't know. So they have yoga and they have new bar ones and dancing ones. So we'd stream it onto a big screen TV. And I started Emery off with, let's just do a yoga together. Let's do a cardio workout together. And then she got into the habit, and it really comes down to that habit of wanting to go on the Peloton. So she's back in physical school. And so she comes home, and every night, no matter what, she's doing her Peloton workout. And so it's awesome. But it took some time. And my advice to parents out there is, don't nag them. It might be challenging to say, hey, come on, let's go for a walk together. And statistically, Dr. Sue and I know that especially here in North America, almost 68% of North Americans are overweight and obese. So we know you probably need the walk too, friends, right? Mm-hmm. You need to get out there, not just with your kids. I'm deeply concerned, we talked about this a little bit, with the potential long-term effects of the stress on kids. This, we're wearing masks now, we're socially distancing, especially the little ones. They're used to arriving at kindergarten and hugging everyone. We're living in a very different world. And on top of it, I don't know if you've seen it or people watching, listening have seen this, the Social Dilemma, which I think is one of the best documentaries on Netflix now, with all of the former Facebook engineers, Google engineers, and they're illustrating the suicide rates of girls, especially between 10 and 13. They're up, I think it's over 400%. And there's this culmination with, they're addicted to social media, they're addicted to how they look, they're addicted to getting this external validation, and then you combine COVID. I'm deeply concerned we're going to see, as I said, more obesity, more depression, more suicide in children. And I'm very, very worried about it. What else can parents do? Let's say they have some warning signs with their kids. They're self-isolating. Maybe they're on social media too much. Maybe they've exhibited some signs of depression. What would be some things that, I guess, parents should alert parents to the fact that they need to take some action, and what are some intervention steps, in your opinion?
So we've actually struggled with this in our household, just to be very vulnerable and open. And it's a conversation that we've been having for years. And I just kept having the conversation. And my conversation was along the lines of showing my concern, right? And then always giving things that I do to help my mental health, right? Mm-hmm. So that can be, you know, the famous quote, you know, comparison is the thief of happiness, right? That's something that we always come back to. You know what? They reflect that back to me. Gosh, I just love it. They just nabbed me because I was looking at this mom and she was looking all swag in her bathing suit, and their mom, comparison, the thief of happiness. So they throw it back at you, which is great. But mine was like a series of conversations and really open conversations, and then just waiting for the period when she was ready to actually get help, you know? So to me, like, the first thing is you know, realizing that we need help and that there's professionals there, and then finding a good fit for your child of that professional, because there's so many out there. So that's another whole thing. I realized, wow, there's no job shortages for therapists out there. Every therapist you call is like booked solid, you know, especially during COVID, which says so much about what people are struggling with. I also, you know, I share the way that I parent is very vulnerable parenting. I'm always, you know, sharing that I'm not perfect. They see all my imperfections when I yell, because I can yell, you know, and then I'm like, okay, you know, I just come back. That wasn't good. Say our apologies, right? So they come to expect that, and that allows them to be vulnerable with me, right? I always teach that, you know, we heal through connection, and we connect through the sticky stuff, the stuff that isn't pretty and isn't like our polished perfection. If we're always polished and perfected, even as a parent, right, there's nothing for the kid to stick to, right? It's we stick through vulnerability. So really showing your vulnerable self allows them to be vulnerable with you. And that can be hard for kids. It can be hard. Some kids are easily vulnerable, and others really struggle with that vulnerability. And those kids who struggle with vulnerability are often the kids who are in that cycle of really beating themselves up, perfectionism, seeing the external, all the social media. They're the most vulnerable to actually, you know, harming themselves, etc. So,
yeah, I think it's so important to be vulnerable and have that conversation. And in our family, my cousin committed suicide, my uncle committed suicide, my grandfather committed suicide. Mm-hmm. So with my son, I was always very deeply worried. And because AJ was on the, or is on the spectrum, he's very vulnerable to anxiety. And of course, moving into a college dorm, which just happened, and I was like, okay, how are we navigating it? And one of the things that I did, and I'm not the perfect parent, but like you, I'm very vulnerable with my kids. And we started preparing mentally months and months and months beforehand, and just really making sure that his strategies for dealing with anxiety were locked in. And I spoke to him this morning, because the gyms at his university, you have to book to go, and they weren't sure if they were going to open them or not. And he's like, yeah, I went and ran 12 laps of the track this morning. And I'm like, good for you, buddy. Like, you know, he's figuring it out. And I think giving our kids strategies, and as adults, Sue, sometimes I see adults who don't even recognize how they deal with stress. You know, that spectrum of the best things we do, mindfulness, meditation, prayer, the worst things we do, drink. Some people, you know, whether it's smoking pot or doing microdosing or whatever it is they do when they're stressed, that are on the bad end of the spectrum. And if we can't recognize it in adults, how are we supposed to be parenting our kids? Because we all have that range of things we do when we're under stress. Some are healthy, exercise, all those things, and some aren't. But there are some things we can do to buffer stress. And you talk about the short term, and you also talk about the long term. So I'm gonna like a football pass, girl. I'm gonna pass this one to you. So it's really funny right now. Jesse Itzler, who I had on my show, he's married to the amazing Sarah Blakely, and he's an amazing entrepreneur in his own right. He's got a challenge out right now on Instagram to interview, I think it's the guy from Kellogg's, because of all the sugar in the cereal and all of the just the junk, the food coloring, everything, and shares in all of those processed foods, food companies have gone up during COVID. People were eating, like, you know, more Toll House cookies. They were eating more Pop-Tarts. They were eating more Doritos. They were eating all this stuff. And as a former holistic nutritionist, I'm like, yeah, wow. And then at one point, our shelves are bare. And I go and look at what's off the shelf, and it's all the synthetic foods, right? And so that just perpetuates stress. So let's talk about, what do we do in the short term to help our kids and ourselves buffer stress? And what are some of those long-term things we can do?
Right. So I played golf in high school. I'm not saying I'm the best golfer, but
probably better than me. That's all. I go to Top Golf once a year. That's all I do.
So in golf, there's the long game and the short game. So the long game is all about the power to go the distance, right? To get the hole close to the, to get the ball close to the hole. And then the short game is like the little finessey things that we do at the very end to get her to sink, right? Sink in. So in health, the long game is all about the healthy diet and lifestyle, right? It's all about the fundamentals. I always say it ain't sexy, but it's so important, right? So one thing that I saw during when COVID hit was people sort of trying to do the short game to get themselves into the hole, right? So they would be like, where's the thing? Like all of a sudden there's no vitamin C, there's no zinc. I mean, things are sold out. You can't get anything anywhere. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people. Okay. So that to me is kind of like the short game, right? The long game is the fundamentals of eat, rest, and move, right? So eat is eating the right real food for you, or I always call it eat for your genetics, right? So if you don't know how to eat for your genetics, you can go to eatforyourgenetics.com and learn more. But it's really about, we're all genetically wired differently. It's actually, I heard, you know, a PhD, MD doc talk about that's where our biggest genetic variances come from, is how we metabolize protein, fat, and carbs. So you can learn so much for your family. And what I love is that it's a test that you can order on your own. So really learn how to eat for your genetics so that you're stop guessing and just start eating the right food. So some general things, right? Like we need to eat real food, right? Food that grows from a tree, or you can pull from a, you know, pull from the ground, or grows on, you know, lives on a farm, right? So eat lots of real food. And then, but really tweak it and finesse it so that it's right for you. So you can, and that's something that you can do for sure. So that's huge for your health, your long-term health. You know, I always say you can either, you know, eat for your genetics, or you can eat for dis-ease, right? So you can avoid so many things by just doing that. So eat, rest, we already talked about. Rest is really about sleep at night. So really knowing your chronotype, your biological clock, all of us are different. I used to tell everybody to live according to me, which was early to bed and early to rise. But genetically, we're not all wired that way. So through that same test, you can learn about that, your biological chronotype. You also want to incorporate periods of rest throughout the day. And I think that's what as adults we stink at. And what now in terms of what kids have to do with online learning is also hard to do, right? It's like incorporating those periods of rest throughout the day. So I just keep my mantra, breathe, write, pray, and play. So breath is all about meditation or yoga, or just taking a few deep breaths. You know, within 10 seconds, you can calm down your nervous system. And reduce stress, journaling first thing in the morning or late at night, right? Prayer can be just like a simple mantra. It's not a religious thing. It's just about connecting, right? And then play is anything that brings you pure joy. So for me, it's dancing. If I just put on a good song and dance and sing, you know, I relax and I de-stress. So lots of times that's what we do in the kitchen with the girls. We'll just put on good music, right? And we'll start dancing and singing. So when we're cooking, which I don't love to do, then we're all having a happier time doing it. So eat, rest, and move, moving your body. So we already talked a lot about that. Movement is key for just releasing, getting out of your mind and releasing emotion from your body. So eat, rest, and move. That's the long game.
Mm, yeah. And those habits don't happen overnight, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what people have to understand. And one of the things that I've always advocated in the Organize Your Life work is pick one. So if you worked on one habit for a month and then a new habit for the next month, at the end of a year, you'd have 12 new habits, mm-hmm. right? At the end of 5 years, you'd have 60 new habits and you'd be a completely new person. And so picking that one thing, when COVID started, I put up these big sheets of paper on the fridge. And it said, our happy path. And so I said, I'm going to own this, right? So we're going to take on, we're going to choose a theme every single day, and we're going to have different activities that don't involve screens, whether it was like basketball outside or whether it was baking or whatever it was, just so that I would give the kids some structure outside of it. And then admittedly, you know, as the summer progressed and I was kind of like, I'm so tired of COVID. Like, you know, and I'm not even a frontline worker, but I was just tired of it. I was tired of, we can't do a play date. We can't, you know, whatever. Then mm-hmm. we let that slide. But I realized, especially in this conversation, that as much as being a parent, especially an entrepreneurial professional parent, is exhausting at the best of times, as parents right now, we're all being called to step up. And that means saying no to, can you, you know, do a Zoom meeting at, you know, 7:30 at night when you know your child needs you for homework? Or one of the things I did today is I just said, I'm not scheduling any calls before 10. And I went to yoga. Then my husband and I went for a nice long walk because I knew my body needed 90 minutes of movement. You know, it's just all of those things. And that making those decisions that our children are only with us for a season. And anyone I know who's an empty nester now goes, it happens so fast. When you're in it, you're like, this is going on forever. But you know, it's carving out those times and being totally okay with it because we're all in this together. Companies like Google and Facebook, they've said their employees are working from home until the end of the year. And so, yeah, sometimes you're on a Zoom and there are kids in the background. Sometimes, you know, it's easy because we're not commuting or seeing people face to face to just go from meeting to meeting to meeting. And then I love what you said, schedule that time to rest, schedule that time to reconnect.
Mm-hmm. And one word for moms, because we self-care is not selfish. Self-care is selfless. You're filling yourself up so that you can pour more into others. Because I see that a lot in repeated theme in moms, right? We have to fill ourselves up.
Yeah, we definitely do. And dads too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know there are a lot of dads. I was raised by a single dad, and I know there are a lot of dads who are now navigating that role where maybe they're the one at home and their partner has gone back to work or whatever the case is. So we all need the self-care, and we all need to your point, breathe, rest a little more, because we're not going to be productive at the end of the day if we're burned out and we're not being good role models to our kids. So Dr. Sue, thank you so much for being here. I would love for everyone to follow you on Instagram. So share what your Instagram handle is.
At Dr. Sue McCready. So DrSueMcCreadie.
So follow Sue at Dr. Sue McCready. And I want to thank everyone for being here. If you are on YouTube, put your comments. I read all of them and I'm the one who responds to them, not some weird robot or anything like that. If this show has been helpful, we would love for you to share it. If you're listening on iTunes or on Spotify, we'd love a 5-star review. And as always, if you want to connect with me, head over to www.susansly.com. Get on the list. I do live free coaching for all the people on the list every single month. So I'd love to be of service to all of you. So with that, God bless, go rock your day, and we will see you on a future episode of the Susan Sly Project.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.